Did you know it is estimated that the average adult makes about 35,000 decisions every day? 35,000 decisions. If the average adult gets about 7 hours of sleep, and some of y'all are probably thinking, man, it would be great to get 7 hours of sleep at night. If the average adult gets about 7 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period, that means you are making about 2,000 decisions every hour. 2,000 decisions every hour. That equates to about a decision every 2 seconds. And your subconscious is all the time making decisions for you that you probably don't even realize are happening. Even right now, as I'm talking, your subconscious is making decisions and trying to play things out. And now that I've been talking about this, you're probably more aware of some of the decisions that are happening. And that is your conscience making these decisions. And those decisions are ones that we absolutely know we're making. Now, there are times in life when these decisions are pretty easy, and we make them without even giving them much thought, like these subconscious decisions. We don't even know that they're happening, but they're happening. We don't give any thought to them, but they're happening. Sometimes we are very aware of the decisions that are being made, and these decisions come with consequences, either good or bad. But then there are times in life when we are faced with dilemmas. And dilemmas are these very weighty, very heavy decisions, undesirable, unpleasant decisions that induce stress, sleepless nights, panic, and doubt. And they make us pause, and they make us think for a really long period of time. A dilemma like, do I continue to promote this middle school lockout even though I know I have to preach coming right off of this middle school lockout? Do I do that, or do I go ahead and do the lockout? No, I'm not going to get any sleep and know that I have to preach. Do I make every kid in Stokes County irritable at me, every middle schooler irritable at me for canceling this lockout to give myself some sort of rest and ability to preach this sermon this morning without feeling very tired and very weighed down from the weekend? We're starting a four-week series today. These messages are going to be in the book of Daniel. We're going to do a character series on Daniel and his friends called Dilemma. And if you read the book of Daniel, and I know the latter part of the book kind of gets really heavy with prophecy and all that, we're not going to get into that part. But if you study the first couple of chapters in the book of Daniel, you kind of begin to understand. It's very apparent that Daniel and his friends face dilemma after dilemma after dilemma when it comes to their faith and what they believe versus the culture that they were put into. And Daniel lived most of his life in a culture that was incredibly hostile to God and hostile to their faith and their walk with God. And time again, Daniel and his friends make decisions. They show us that you can make decisions in the face of dilemmas of culture and faith that actually go alongside of faith and not falling into culture. They'll help us to see how that's possible. I have a question this morning as we get into this, and the question is simply this. Is it a dilemma for me, for you, for us, when culture challenges faith? Is it a dilemma when your faith challenges culture? When culture and faith collide, is it a dilemma? Do we face dilemmas? What do I do? Do I fall in line? Do I stand out? Do I blend in? Do I conform? Am I comfortable? Do I take risks? Am I willing to follow my faith when culture collides with that faith? Throughout this study, we're going to see that Daniel chooses to stand out instead of trying to blend in and find acceptance, that he would choose to live in such a way that his life would be at risk rather than experiencing safety and comfort by not rocking the boat. We'll see that Daniel repeatedly speaks truth when skirting the truth would have been to his personal benefit. And we'll see that he will daringly shun national law, causing him to be tossed into the lion's den instead of complying with it and saving his own skin. And let me just say this, Christians in America, I think we have it a little easy, right? We aren't faced with death threats from our governments or even our friends or other people that we interact with. We're certainly not faced with a lion's den or a fiery furnace. We don't have the persecution to the extent that Daniel and his friends faced in Babylon. The challenges that we encounter really are not to the degree that Daniel and his friends faced. So this idea of faith and culture and the challenges that come with that, it should be a little bit easier for us to face. But I'll still be honest, being a Christian today is still very difficult. Even though we aren't faced with these things that Daniel was faced with, it's still very difficult to be a Christian in our day and age. Christianity is increasingly facing more and more hostility from our culture. I mean, our beliefs are mocked and ridiculed. We're labeled as hateful and enemies of progress. We are called judgmental when we call sin, sin. And when we choose to not partake in certain activities or substances, we're called prudes. And we're laughed at. And when we share our faith in the workplace or at school, we're called to just be quiet, to settle down. Don't threaten the peace. Don't rock the boat. In 2015, the late comedian Norm MacDonald was a guest on Last Comic Standing. I think he was a guest judge. And MacDonald, I mean, he schooled a contestant for mocking Christianity during his routine. Fellow judge Roseanne Barr, she gave praise to the contestant, to the comedian. She said that his jokes about the Bible and Harry Potter were braved. MacDonald, however, he disagreed, like staunchly disagreed with Roseanne Barr. This is what he says. He says, "I don't think the jokes about Harry Potter and the Bible are brave at all," he said to the contestant. "If you're going to take on an entire religion, you should know what you're talking about." MacDonald went on to tell the comedian that if he was going to reference the Harry Potter novels in an attempt to mock Christianity, that he should know that the author, J.K. Rowling, actually used Christianity and elements of Christianity as inspiration for the books. In 2007, at a speaking engagement in America, Rowling makes these remarks. She said, I use parts of Christianity as inspiration for these novels. If you don't believe me, you can go back. The Daily Telegraph did an extensive write-up on that interview and Rowling's admission. And that's what Norm MacDonald was using as his reference. MacDonald later told The Hollywood Reporter that he didn't care for the jokes and that the comedian would have been brave if he got up and said, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior." MacDonald said, "It's not courageous to mock Christianity today, and it's especially not courageous to mock Christianity in Los Angeles, of all places." Norm MacDonald claimed to be a Christian, and only God knows that that's true or not, but I agree with him. I mean, it is not brave. It doesn't take bravery at all to mock Christianity in today's growing hostility and culture towards Christians. It doesn't take bravery at all. It does, however, take bravery to be a Christian. It takes bravery and strength to be a Christian and boldly proclaim faith, even in the Bible Belt. I mean, we think we got it good, but it's still increasingly difficult and becoming more and more difficult to be a Christian where we are today. This morning, we're going to start in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to summarize a little bit about what's happened before we get there. So the nation Israel, after King Solomon's reign, has been divided. You have the northern kingdom and you have the southern kingdom. And because of their disobedience to God, God allowed them to be taken over, allowed them to be raided. And so the northern kingdom is pretty much almost completely wiped off the map. So you have the southern kingdom, Judah, that tries to stay strong. They're trying their very best to hold out. And eventually King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians come in. They just wipe Judah, the southern kingdom, out. They come into Jerusalem, the capital. They take all of the things from the temple, all of the prized artifacts, everything that is of value. And not only that, they actually take some of these Israelites back to Babylon with them, the very best, the cream of the crop. And the idea was that these Jewish people, the very best, would then become indoctrinated into Babylonian culture to become Babylonians to work in the king's court, to be Nebuchadnezzar's servants. That's where we pick up the story in verse 5. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel, the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission to not defile himself in this way. I mean, it doesn't take long. As soon as they're taken from their home country into Babylon, the indoctrination begins immediately. And it starts with name changes. And then it becomes, you're going to eat this new diet. And this was difficult for Daniel and his friends. They were to slowly become Babylonians, but everything that is happening to them goes against the command that God gave them. Don't partake in unclean foods. Don't eat foods and drink drinks that are unclean, that have potentially been sacrificed to idols. And that is exactly the kind of food that they were given. And God commanded the Israelites, be holy, be set apart. Don't partake in these things. Don't blend in. To blend in like the others would have been to allow the indoctrination to come upon them. And that would have been easy. But to stand out and to live how God commanded them, that would have put their lives in danger. And so there's the dilemma, the first one. Do you stand out for what you believe in, what you know is right? Or do you blend in and fall in line just like the rest to save your own skin? And this morning, if culture is challenging our faith, we too will come face to face with the dilemma of standing out or blending in. In our world today, I mean, we are faced with dilemma after dilemma of faith and culture challenging each other. Dilemmas like, live your own truth. If you know what's right, you have truth. Live your own truth. You know that truth. Or do we live and do we believe that Jesus is the only truth? Will you stand out? Will you proclaim that Jesus is truth? Or will you blend in and believe and follow your own truth, that you can decide what is right? Dilemmas like same-sex marriage, or the dilemma of marriage is only intended for a man and a woman. Will we stand out and proclaim God's truth and intent for marriage between a man and a woman, or will we blend in and accept marriages being open to same-sex couples? Dilemmas like pursue the idols of money and sex and power. Do whatever makes you feel good, whatever makes you happy, fulfilled. Or do we pursue God's will to find true fulfillment in our life, giving up our rights to find true fulfillment and true satisfaction? Stand out, put God first in all that we do, seek Him above all else, or fall in line and chase whatever we think will make us happy, the next high, only to be let down, to have to pursue something else, again, for temporary happiness. We have to face these dilemmas and more each and every single day. And culture tries its best to change us, to make us conform to it. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, be transformed. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed. And maybe Paul had Daniel and his friends in mind when he wrote those words. Daniel and his friends boldly stood up for God despite everyone around them conforming. Their fellow Israelites falling in line, doing what the Babylonian culture told them to do. They stood out. They knew God's word, and they allowed God's word to transform them. And they boldly stood out when everyone else around them blindly conformed to Babylonian culture. And because they decided to stand out, Daniel and his friends willingly put targets on their backs and the back of the official in charge of them. And this morning, man, we need to know this, that when we boldly stand out because of our faith, we may put ourselves and others at risk as well. Verse 9. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and your drink. Why should he see you looking worse than all the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Parents, let me talk to you for a second. You have an incredible opportunity to teach your young children, elementary up to high school, even younger. You have the opportunity, amazing opportunity, to talk about faith and to talk about how that goes against culture. The opportunity to teach them scripture. The opportunity to be united as one. And I firmly believe, I work with middle schoolers and high schoolers, so I might be a little biased, but I firmly believe that schools are the hardest places to be Christians at today. I firmly believe that. Parents, don't shy away from teaching hard truths, for telling your kids, showing them that God's way is better than the ways of our world and what our culture say is right. Let the church help. Let us resource. Let us help you. I love teaching. I love telling your kids those hard truths. Let us resource you, but you have to have those talks in your home as well. Adults, listen, it is difficult for us. It certainly is. When we stand out, when we take stands for our faith, it's difficult for us, but your kids will almost face the same amount of pressure and backlash from their peers as you face as well. They're going to be judged and criticized just as much as you are. And families, we have to be on the same page. Listen, it's not just enough for the parents to be on the same page. It's not even enough just for one parent to think one way and another parent. You have to be united as parents and what you believe in your faith and how that stands against culture. But you have to bring your children along too. Think about the things that they're hearing, the pressure that they receive from social media, from their friends at school. Word gets out quick. And if you are boldly taking stands, parents, for your faith and what you believe to know is true in the Bible and how that contradicts culture, your kids are put, they have targets put on their backs as well. They will know. Word gets out. People talk. And you know what's going to be said? Can you believe that their parents believe that? Can you believe that they don't agree with this? And they're going to be challenged. And if they don't know the truth, if you all are not united, if we are not united as one, as families, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. We have to be willing to take on these dilemmas. And if you're doing that, man, thank you. Congratulations. And if you're not, man, make today the day that y'all have these talks, that you begin to understand how faith and culture cannot coexist as it is today. Everyone in the family has to be united. Daniel and his friends, they convinced the official, hey, just go along with this plan. We know it's going to be dangerous. We know your life is going to be on the line. But test us. Just for 10 days. Give us 10 days. And if we look better than all the others, continue to let us go along with this plan. And the official says, okay, my life is on the line, but I'll trust you. 10 days. They willingly put the target on their back, and the official puts the target on his back as well. And it's danger. I mean, there's danger for them. Their lives were on the line. His life was on the line as well. And there's certainly danger when we stand out, but there's also so much great hope. Standing out is difficult, and it may be costly, but God always rewards the faithful. Continuing in verse 18, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Okay, we have to be careful. Because we read this, and we're like, man, they were promoted, they had praise, they were given positions of honor, and that is true, but that is not always the case, right? We're not going to get some big, grand reward, while we might want praise and admiration and positions of higher status for standing out, God's rewards are mostly eternally focused. They were put in positions of power that we'll read later on actually benefit the kingdom. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has these dreams, and, And they're keeping him up. They're like nightmares. They're terrors. They're keeping him up at night because they're so troublesome. And he invites some of his sorcerers, his magicians, his enchanters, his astrologers to come in to tell him the dreams that he's having. If they can tell him the dream and then give him the interpretation, all would be well. But all the men that he asked to do this, they're like, this is impossible. No one can interpret, or no one can tell you what your dream is and then give you the proper interpretation. It's impossible. And these guys know it. They need the dream to be able to bring the interpretation. But Nebuchadnezzar, he stands firm. He's like, no, I want you to tell me my dream and then interpret for me. I don't want you just to give me the interpretation you think it is. Give me the true interpretation. He thinks that they're trying to fraud him. And he's furious. They can't do this. They're like, it's impossible. No one can do this. And so Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, he's irate. He tries to have all of these wise men in his kingdom killed. And as the people come to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Abednego, they're about ready to execute the order to have them killed. Daniel says this. He says, just give me the opportunity to talk to the king. Let me talk to him. So, sure. So he goes before the king. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, give me some time, and I'll tell you what your dream is, and then I'll give you its interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar agrees. And that very night, Daniel, he prays, God, help me. And that very night, the revelation, the dream, and its interpretation is given to Daniel by God. And Daniel worships God, and then the next day, he's taken in before King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar asks him, all right, is it true? Can you tell me my dream, and then can you give me its interpretation? And Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 through 28 says this. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, diviner, can explain to the king the mystery that he has asked about. Humanly, it's impossible. But there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. And then he goes on for the next couple of verses, and he explains. He tells the king, this is what your dream was, and this is its meaning. This is its interpretation. And then in verse 47, the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of little gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. I mean, Daniel's steadfast in his faith. He stands out. He doesn't blend in, and God rewards him. He puts the target on the back, and God rewards him for his boldness. He's able to have a position where God is able to use him and work through him to be able to talk to the king, to be able to tell the dream and interpret the dream, and then have Nebuchadnezzar boldly proclaim that God is the God of all other gods. Daniel and his friends are given greater influence to reach more people for God. And if culture is against faith, and that's a dilemma, if we see that, where culture and faith are challenging each other, and that's a dilemma for us, we have to respond by standing out instead of blending in. When we do the right thing, God will reward us. And listen, it might cost you a friendship, a position, status, inclusion. It might lead to awkward encounters, avoidance. And Jesus reminds us of a simple truth in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 through 12 in the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are you when people persecute you, insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If it's a dilemma, when faith and culture challenge each other, congratulations. Are we standing out, or are we blending in? Lord God, we come to you this morning, and we know that all things are within your hands. We know that even though there's difficulty here on this earth for us as your followers, God, that there is something so much greater on the other side waiting for us. That no matter the difficulty and waging war of culture and faith, God, that you've already won. And that helps us to be bold, to stand out instead of blending in. And this morning, God, maybe we have blended in. Maybe we've taken the easy road. We just don't want to engage. We don't want to lose that friendship. We don't want to have the awkwardness. God, I pray that we would be challenged to stand out, to boldly proclaim our faith and the truth of our faith in the face of an ever-changing culture that wants us to conform. Lord God, may we be transformed by your word to know your truth and to boldly stand on that truth when we're faced with the dilemma of standing out or blending in. And we're thankful for Jesus, who's given us new life, a better life. Instead of following the ways of the world, Lord, we follow Jesus who has taken our sin from us to give us a better life, to give us a new life. Forgiveness of sin and life eternal with you, the Father. And we're so thankful for that this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Hey, this morning, if you've been living this world of following and doing whatever culture says is right, I mean, it is an ever-changing world. I don't know how you keep up. I really don't. But if that's how you've been living, you've been following the ways of the world, and maybe you're tired, you're worn out, you're unsatisfied, and you want to know truth, and you want to have the most fulfilling life possible, that only comes through Jesus. And this morning, you have the opportunity to confess him as Lord, to surrender your life, to be baptized, and to follow after him. I would love to have those conversations with you over here on the side. If you need prayer as well, I mean, look, it's difficult. It's difficult to live out your faith, to stand out instead of blending in. If you need prayer this morning for encouragement or just want to talk about that, I would love to talk with that as well with you on the side as we stand and we sing this song of invitation.
We want to thank you for listening to the Jefferson Church podcast. We hope you have been encouraged and inspired by God's word today. If you would like to talk to someone about a decision for Christ, baptism, a specific prayer request, or more information about our church, please click the link in the footer below that will take you to jeffersonchurch.life, and someone would be glad to speak with you. We upload our messages every week and hope that you will come back and listen. Thank you, and God bless.